in ancient Israel, once the scroll is called the Megillah, that the Book of Esther is on, and this is where you get the expression the whole Megillah. It was so important, the reading of this scroll at the Feast of Purim, that all temple sacrifices were stopped, all the services within the temple were stopped, and the reading of the Torah was stopped, so that all could hear the Book of Esther. There's no other thing in the history of Israel that everything of those things are stopped for. You understand that? It's a big deal. This celebration, this feast, this going through this process was so important that it was done at the expense of every other thing in Israel. Now we know for certain, because it was done throughout, that Christ and his disciples celebrated the feast three different times. He celebrated it with them three different times. Normally it was done as the thing that, like, if you had to go a long way to get to Jerusalem, the Feast of Purim was the last thing you did in your own village before you left to go to the pilgrimage feast. Now, it's really the definition of faith, because it celebrates the destruction. It celebrates Passover a month before Passover, if you could see it. It's remember, have we talked about this, that the name of God is not mentioned in the Book of Esther? It's the only book of the Bible that the name of God is not mentioned in. And because of that, the ancient Jews say that what the Book of Esther celebrates is God's intervention or work behind the scenes in your life. Or Passover celebrates its direct intervention. In other words, the Book of Esther simply declares to you that every single thing that has happened to you in your life has been God working behind the scenes. You understand that? Now, it's the celebration of the destruction of Amalek, if you will. Amalek is who? The flesh. It's interesting that today is Purim, in fact. Do you understand that? I mean, we celebrate it when it's convenient. But Purim today is being celebrated in Israel, even as we speak. And it's the celebration of being at rest from all your enemies, and it's the ceasefire has occurred, and no more Scud missiles. I mean, it's cool. The perfect type.
Cool. I
didn't
think about that.
And so the only problem is that the only people that's, I mean, the lot of the congregations don't celebrate Purim, unfortunately. And a lot of them don't do this. Nobody does what we do anymore. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, there are none of the Jews that do what we do anymore, namely, drink a toast at every mention of Esther. So they've made it into
a children's
thing where the kids do all the booing and hissing.
Yeah, they dress up and they have little things.
Noisemakers.
The biggest clue that this isn't just something that we cooked up is that, you know, I mean, this goes against, I mean, usually you're like the picture of moderation in all things, and this is one of those feasts where, you know, it isn't necessarily.
It isn't moderation. Let's go to Numbers 14. Well, go to Numbers 13 first, I'm sorry.
13?
13. They had made it through out of Israel. They had come down. They had made it up to... this is the really in the second year. They made it up here to Kadesh Barnea, and now they want to... What Moses does is he sends the spies in to the Holy Land. He sends someone from each of the 12 tribes to go into the Holy Land to spy it out. Okay? What?
I was just thinking about, we hear this story every year, and I was wondering what we were going to see about it this time.
Oh, okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that thou mayest search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers ye shall send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All these men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben: Shamuah, the son of Zechor; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshiath, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Paltai, the son of Raphu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai; of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gemali; of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabai, the son of Voshi; of the tribe of Gad, Geuel, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshia, the son of Nun, Joshua. And what that means is, Jehoshua is, that's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities that they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came out, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from hence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh. That's where. Kadesh. Kadesh means what?
Sanctuary.
It's where we get the word holy or saint or. Barnea means what?
Wilderness.
So the sanctuary in the wilderness. Spiritually, that's what we are here. This is a sanctuary in the wilderness. I'll tell each of you can go up. Now, you remember there's 12 spies. There's 12 types that go into the promise. But only, let's see. I brought back the word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there.
Giants.
Yeah, Anak. Yeah, and then, you remember who was the last giant on the race?
Goliath.
Huh? Goliath. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight."
What does it mean, the land eateth up the inhabitants?
It means that you don't have a chance there. Means
so
that you couldn't survive. Yeah.
I guess you're
yeah. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt." And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search in it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that floweth," or which floweth, "with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Ha! I like those kind of stuff. "Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." You understand what has happened? Only two of the 12 went in. I mean, only two of the 12 that went in brought back a good report.
Mm-hmm.
It was Joshua and Caleb. Joshua is Jesus. Caleb is the Kenite, of the friend of the bridegroom, right? So it's you, it's Christ in you automatically. And the best you can be is Caleb, the friend of the bridegroom. You understand? That's the best the flesh can do.
It's the first time I read this and thought that was me saying that, you know, that I'm the one that's giving the bad report and saying,
"Okay, well,
you can go over there."
He didn't want you to be, this year, he wants you to be the one that gives the good report. That's exceedingly good land. It's a land of faith. And we don't have to worry about all the giants in here, the things of our own nature. Just rest. There's no giants. All those giants are defeated foes. Amen? That's the land that floweth with milk, the milk of Torah, the milk of Word, the understanding, and honey. It's the private revelation that's given to you in intimate chambers. It doesn't need somebody idiot like me feeding you milk. You understand? Now, let's go possess it.
This is hilarious. Moses going, "No, you don't want to do that." "Come here, God."
Moses said unto the Lord, "Then the Egyptians shall hear of it."
I love it.
Moses is getting pretty smart.
Yeah.
He knows how to talk to God.
You don't want to look bad in front of the Egyptians.
You don't want to look bad in front of the Egyptians.
Your name.
Hey, you want to know my name?
That's right. It's your name that they're going to
What
bless.
Do you want me to do? Kill myself?
On this
note. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear of it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that they, thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all his people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. You got to, I mean, see,
good to me.
This is the way you pray, right here, right?
This is God, I mean,
this is the way you pray. This is the lesson of prayer right here.
I'm serious.
Absolutely.
This is plucky.
This is why it says of Moses that he was the meekest of all men that ever lived.
Not by the world's understanding.
Not by the world's understanding.
Now, how does God react to this?
Huh?
I mean, like, this is...
He says, you gotta love Moses.
This is not like news to God, right?
This is what he wants each one of us to do.
See,
this is the idea. This is the idea. This is the whole point. He wants you to kick the wall without him telling you.
Well, it's also like...
Oh, yeah, but this assumes... respect his name, that you understand that. I mean,
well, it's also like,
now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Now pardon, I beseech thee, iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Why? Because by that act and by that prayer, Moses described Jesus.
Cool.
And he saw Jesus. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Now, what does it mean then to pardon? Watch. There's much more than we think. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Now, have we talked about the 10 sorceries?
No. Sort of.
Passes.
Barely touching
really.
On it.
Huh?
Not really.
Never
really.
No.
You mentioned it.
Have I ever talked about the 7 eyes of God?
You keep saying.
You keep saying. You keep saying.
We talked about. We're getting to that right after we finish studying the stars.
Which we're going to do after we finish the
Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you that dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. Now, what does that mean to us? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Let the carcass fall. Let the life which is Christ. The best you can hope for is to be this the friend of the bride. The bridegroom.
Yeah, I was just thinking that if you look at if you see this from outside of time, then the progression of the next 40 years causes what he said just now to happen. You just see carcasses dropping.
Amen. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bury your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you have searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. And I the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Now, there were 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 50 that left Egypt with their children and their families, their wives and their families and their children. Of all of those people that left, which may be as many as 6 million, 3 million, 6 million, 2 millions anyway, you understand? Two made it. Joshua and Caleb. When you look around the world and you see and wonder, which you're prone to do, well, how come everybody doesn't see this? Or how come everybody doesn't believe this? Remember the rarity of what this is about. You understand? Consider yourself fortunate and don't despise this. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. What was the slander? They just thought they told the truth. The slander was they saw after the flesh and didn't see after the spirit. They made judgments by what they saw with their senses. That, by definition, God calls slander. And in you, God calls slander anything that you see that isn't finished. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the Lord died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still.
So those men got sick right away?
Yeah, they got wasted. And Moses told those, saying unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop, Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. I mean, there's that's the
geographic
place.
Oh, they were running and they were falling behind.
What all of that means, and what the who the Amalekites are to us. Yeah, I mean, those people out there don't know anything about the Amalekites. Yeah, that's just flesh in Egypt. The Amalekites are those things that take place in us the moment we begin to be concerned with God's stuff. And the moment someone in the name of God causes you to walk in self-realization, the Amalekites have won the battle. So the Amalekites are those that come to you in the name of God in self-realization. In other words, bringing self, trying to bring self into the kingdom without the cross as was demanded here. You understand me? Do you understand? Bottom line, if you really don't give a shit about heaven and hell, you understand that? Mm-hmm. Is it beginning to dawn on you? The world doesn't really care about heaven and hell. It's just little fairy tales they tell little kids. So that they can have some pressures on them. They tell them little scary stories and say, if you don't do this, this will happen to you. And if you do that, you'll get goodies. It's just all it is. Those stories about heaven and hell are not real. All they are is they're like the peeling on the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Do you understand? They're not even real. They don't even know what the fuck they're talking about. They're just ways to cause you to pass through the fires of Moloch, good and evil. You understand? If I knew that I was going to hell tomorrow, I still would have to do what I'm doing today. You understand? Heaven and hell are no longer issues in me, and if they are in you, it's only like a little bit of like a memory thing that some idiotic parent or preacher sort of tried to. The question isn't heaven or hell. The question is, are you going to possess the land today? Do you understand? What?
What? My religious background showing. What is the state then after physical death? We don't know.
The state after physical death is that you don't exist. The memory even of you will perish. You're in the dump, which is the fire, lake of fire and brimstone, until time is no more. But once time is no more, even the memory of you will perish.
In your spirit?
You're nothing. It's as though you never existed. It's just like all those sperm cells that you've put up on your stomach.
Oh, God!
Well, that's what they are. The human race is just those sperm cells that are running around up there in your stomach.
I've heard that.
Huh?
I've heard that.
I remember that.
But we say we'll be together.
We, the body of Christ, will.
But not we like Ed.
Not like Ed and the synapses and all the thought processes and all this crap.
Edric is not a part of it.
Is he up there in heaven wearing his coat?